Thank you, Jesus. It's good to be thankful. It's good to be reminded that we need to be thankful. Book of Acts, chapter 1, please. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, will you come this morning? Will you touch my heart? Let us pray. Will you come and encourage me, Lord? Will you lift me up? Will you bring the word as it is designed to bring? Will it touch the hearts of these people? Thank you, Father God, that you've called us today, that you've given us this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to just do a little bit of recap because I didn't finish last week, so I'm just going to do a very quick recap and then finish off what I wanted to do. And as I said last week, I'm just reminding you that this is a little bit of focus, this sermon, these two sermons, a little bit of a focus, a little bit of direction for us as a body. This is helping us to narrow down and not be worried about everything that's going out there. And part of what we do is an eldership team or pastoral team. Part of what we do is we set direction and focus. And so this is helping us to do that. And probably the last or second to last one we're doing of this series, of those who've been wondering about that. So we're just going to continue developing a culture, part two today. And let's just have a look at what we spoke about quickly. We spoke about vision, values, our ventures and vehicles, what God has called us to, what God has placed in us, where God leads and opens doors for us, and the model through which we accomplish God has done. Those are our vision, values, ventures and vehicles. We looked at a whole bunch of scriptures, and there they are there, that we looked at last week. And to understand a bit, if you're new to this, to the bridge, understand who we are, what is our focus. Our focus, of course, is the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in all their glory, in all their fullness, not playing one off against the other, not leaving one out, not favoring one, because it is the Trinity, the Godhead. And of course, our focus, the King and His kingdom, and the grace of His release in our lives. And of course, we are a word and spirit people. We cannot divorce the two. We are word and spirit. And we have explained a number of times where some churches want to say we're a worshiping church, we're a praying church, we're a word church, we're a spirit church. Well, we're all of that because that's biblical and that's who we are. You cannot divorce the two. That's like saying we'll take Jesus, we won't take the Holy Spirit. We'll take God, but we don't want anybody else. And of course, we're an apostolic prophetic people, and those are our five E-values, which you should have read by now. How we worked it out, we explained this a number of times. If you're not sure, you can talk to me afterwards. I just want to get on in the time. We encounter God, we engage people, we equip disciples, empower leaders, and of course, our heart and everything we do is to extend the kingdom of God. But if we don't encounter God, and I would say the Holy Spirit is always with us because we carry Him around with us. And so it's not that we separate them. Is culture design or default? Well, there's no such thing as a church without a culture. And we spoke about that in depth last week. Developing a culture, we talked about building a preferred culture, decide what to build, value it, anticipate the future. And then we looked at what biblical cultures should we have, and some of them we're really good at, and some of that we're not so good at, and of course that's why we're carrying on developing. And then we said how to build a culture. We need to decide what we want. And in truth, if we really want to get to the end of it, we don't really decide. God decides. Because He doesn't partner with us in what we want to do, we partner with Him in what He wants to do. We are His servants. We as the pastoral team here are His under-shepherds who have been called, appointed, anointed, gifted to lead this body of people. So He decides what He wants us to do, and we walk it out with Him. We partner with Him, and we want to say our five E-grace values is part of our family factor. And so that's how we want to do it. And we have kingdom values, grace-oriented saints of the Most High King. That's who we all are. And that's why in the scripture it says, I think it's in Timothy, it says, I want you all everywhere to raise holy hands. And then we go, oh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if my hands are holy. I look at my hands. And we have to change that completely and understand that you have holy hands because you have been made holy. It's not something you work for. It's not something you aspire to. It's through the grace of God that you have been made the righteousness of God. Thank you, Michael. And Bruce. I heard that, Bruce. We declare what we want. We stand up and we unashamedly declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. That I think one of us prayed it, was thankful that we can go out into the highways and the byways and we can declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we should never step back and be afraid of building a culture of invite into us, a culture of kingdom-mindedness. So when we pray kingdom prayers. And I know this morning was thank God for what He's done in our lives and being thankful. And some of them sound soulish. You know, when I stand and say, thank God for my wife and my daughter, I'm not being selfish. I'm thankful for my wife and my daughter. And for all of those who prayed that, said thank you for that kind of stuff. And we need to learn to be thankful for that. Because I want to honor and cherish the team here, my wife, my daughter. And for you the same. Declare what we want. We want to be kingdom-minded children. We don't want to be, well, my life is so hard. And I love the word that came this morning about the clouds and the sun. We have to learn to get above the clouds. And not allow clouds to get into our hearts. And not allow the clouds to dampen who we are and what we are called to do. And this is not the rah, rah, rah stuff. This is life. Jesus came and gave us life more abundantly. And we grab hold of that. And sometimes we feel like the woman who pressed through the crowd and are afraid that she still pressed through and grabbed His garment. And He was affected because He said, something left me, something went out of me. And it was her faith that pressed in. And we sometimes have to press through. And I can guarantee you, if I said to you, okay, let's just call people up and talk about the clouds in their lives, that we'd also have a lineup. And that's life. And it's not we don't care about it. Of course we care about it. Because we could lead the charge. We also have clouds in our lives. We don't walk 3 inches above the ground. But we know that He is our Savior. And we know that I am persuaded that He is my refuge and my strong tower. And that He wants the best for us. Declare what you want. Through our lifestyle, through our actions, through our heart, through our preaching, through our pre-service prayers this morning. Man, I was so excited this morning to see so many family. I want to just honor the moms and dads. And affirm you, I've got it further down here, for bringing your children to the prayer meeting this morning. And one day, hope above hopes, maybe one of those six-year-olds will pray something. And we will be ecstatic about it. And I've said so many times, it's not cute. It's not, oh, sweet. When those kids pray, they hear from God, and we trust that they're hearing from God, that they are praying godly prayers, they're praying kingdom prayers, and their kingdom prayer might just simply be, bless us this morning, Jesus. And that is kingdom. That is wonderful. That is a young voice speaking out. This is pioneering stuff. Because otherwise, as I said last week, I don't know who was or who wasn't here last week, if you missed it last week, the point I was making, that when we don't teach our children to stand and pray with us, we are saying that this is for adult time, it's not for adult time. Because then otherwise, then we've got to break it down further and we've got to say, well, they're the church of tomorrow. And that's not our ethos here, they are the church of today. They can go and lead kids to Jesus Christ, just like we can. That's what they're called to do. Yeah? When you see two young teenagers in love, we go, oh, shame. It's just puppy love. You know what? To those puppies, it's real. Yeah. Repeat what we want. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Parents, Teach them diligently to your children, and sure you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets upon your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And the point of that, there's some law in that, which we are not under law. We're under grace, we know that. But part of that is that we need to educate and teach our children. This is how we live. This is how we live godly lives. That one day they can stand at a Thanksgiving service and say, thank you, Jesus, for parents who led godly lives and taught me godly ways. Amen. I feel the anointing. I'm going to sit down and raise hands on myself because I can see. How do we repeat what we want? How do we repeat and inculcate a biblical culture? Because that's what we're about. We preach about it. We sing about it. We write songs about it. Write songs about it, some people. Teach about it in all areas of the church. Not just wait and hear what the talking head's got to say. Well, that's how I've been referred to sometimes. Teach about it. In your coffee times, teach about it. Talk about it. Fellowship together. When we go to life groups, when we're in Sunday school, most of all, live it. Don't walk away and people be confused. A friend of mine in South Africa has this terrible habit. When he wants to bring someone onto the leadership team, he calls their boss and says to them, do you know Kevin Johnson? I said, yes. Well, he's in our church, he's a Christian, and we think of bringing him onto leadership in our church. What do you think? The boss goes, Kevin who? Kevin Johnson. He's a what? He's a Christian. We don't really see that here at work. And then he does something terrible beyond that. That's just a joke, by the way. Considering he's a pastor in the church already. Then he does something terrible. What's the big hockey final here called? NHL? So there? The Stanley Cup. He waits till he knows when the Stanley Cup would start. And now South Africa would be the Currie Cup final. Waits for the Stanley Cup and then he calls up these budding leaders and says, guys, we've got an issue, we need to pray through it. Can you come round to my house and pray with me? Anyway. Oh, no, I could see that went down like a lead balloon. Measure what we are building. Are we becoming the vision and the culture? Are we becoming kingdom-minded? If we look back over our shoulders, are we looking back and saying, I can see there's progress. I can see I'm maturing. I see I'm growing. Is there evidence of God in our lives? Are we fulfilling the call, the mandate? Are we displaying the fruit of the Spirit? Are we family? I think someone prayed this morning. Family is often messy. You know, at home you can fight and, you know, what did you say this morning? It's mine, give it back to me. You know that's normally not a good thing in a family. And when we get to church, we think we're all got to be so. We've got to speak the truth in love. We've got to love upon one another. And sometimes it gets messy. And sometimes you think, well, in real life, I'd never want them as my brother or sister. Well, too bad. Because you've been born into one family, one God, one Father, one Spirit, one body. Are we family? Often it's missing. Are others following us? Especially if you're in leadership. And you're all in leadership to some degree. Don't now just default to, well, I'm not a deacon, I'm not an elder church, so cool, I'm out of here. No, you're in leadership. If you're a husband of family, you're in leadership. If you're a wife, you're in leadership. If you're a single mom, you're in leadership. Don't talk about that one, Mark. Make the necessary adjustments. You know, if you take a wooden barrel and the slats are not equal, we can only grow and develop to the lowest slat. You know that? Because then the barrel's unequal. And the point I'm trying to make here is that we have to be balanced about what we do. Otherwise, what happens is we get the pendulum swing, and we're all out there, and then we get the pendulum swing out there, and nobody knows what's going on. And of course, there are times. We had a time like that on Wednesday night, where the Spirit of God came, Holy Spirit came in the meeting, and it was chaos. It was great chaos. Worship was outstanding. Prayers were outstanding. People singing in new songs, new tongues. What? Yeah, I know. So the question then, of course, is how do we build a church? How do we sustain something that we've already built? And I'm not ashamed to say I made a challenge to our life group. I think I mentioned it last week. Man, you guys, you rock. There we go. No. Now we're into competition. Our life group rocks. Yeah, no, of course we started because we're pioneers. We're not settling. We're starting a new culture. Yeah. Come on. Wear my jeans. Yeah, no. I wore jeans last week for the first time ever in church, if you can believe that. Oh, no. Anyway. How do we sustain it? Time's run out. Let me go quickly. We sustain it through prayer. We've got to be a praying people. Lord told me, this shall be a house of prayer. I encourage you. I'm not begging you. I'm encouraging you. Come out on a Wednesday night. Don't tell me how you love prayer and then never come to prayer meeting. Ephesians 6:18, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and those clouds that are there will disappear. Just my little ad. We teach and preach on culture. Titus 1:5, I ended off with this last week. Titus 1:5, this is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. And we spoke a little bit about, that's why we have this expression, he's a Cretan or a Cretan, however you might say it. And that comes from here. Because they were what? They were lazy, they were gluttons, and they were evil, lazy people. And here we have Paul saying to young Titus here, saying to him, dude, hang around, change the culture. Fix this thing. Put into order what needs to be put into order. Often we read the scripture, we make setting in the elders as the big thing. No, it wasn't. It was changing the whole culture. Changing a culture of rebel Cretans into a community of God-fearing believers, into a family. And that's what he was left for behind. Our job, build a community, bring godly government, establish it. That's why we believe in the biblical pattern. Elders, which are the same as pastors, if you don't get that. Elders, pastors, deacons, saints, and the translocal, connected to the translocal ministry. Model the culture. Teach and preach. Model the culture. Be friends. Be a family. Hebrews 13 verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. We should be examples to be imitated. Oh, we don't like this one. Rebuke what cuts across the culture. But in the other church, we do this and this and this. Well, this is, can I just be honest? This is not the other church. This is the bridge. I hope that was lovingly said. Well, I remember when, you know, in South Africa, when they had the Rhodesian, the Zimbabwe war, and the people had to flee and come down into South Africa. And then when they were there and we got to be friends, they had a nickname. We called them the Wenwis. And the Wenwis. Because when we were doing this, when we were doing that. And we have had to temper ourselves to not be Wenwis. When we were in South Africa, because we learned, I'm sure in the very beginning, some of you, your grace flowed towards us because we were probably a little bit like a wenwe. When we were in South Africa, and then we realized a whole bunch of stuff that we did in South Africa doesn't work in Canada. So we have to inculcate and learn the culture and change and adapt. Or die. As you see, I'm very much alive. Rebuke it. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Why? Verse 17, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. That we understand who we are in Christ. That we don't have to work hard and jump through hoops and swim rivers and climb mountains and run through valleys to prove ourselves to God and to man. That we know who we are in Christ. And on this rock of foundation I shall stand. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone and the capstone, the builder and the founder, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And in Him I have life. And in Him I give glory to Him. And in Him He is my sustainer. And in Him He is my source and my resource. He is everything. That's when I gave thanks. My gratitude goes deep. And I'm sure yours does too. Celebrate when we see people live it. And that's why we want to affirm and celebrate those kids, the parents who brought those kids. And you know what? I loved it because I was watching the kids. I don't know whether they were like, how? But most of them were like engaged. They were listening and paying attention to what we were praying. Kudos to you, pioneers. Ooh. An intentional culture will set the tone. When we are intentional, as I said, Lord, when I say, let us pray, and you stand up and pray with me, a few people, I saw their faces last week, were like, what are they doing? What are they doing? Why are they praying? What are they doing? What did I miss? Where did I go? Man, I can't wait for the day we all just stand up and all pray together. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm trying. Let us build the culture that God has called us to. A culture of invite. We want to invite people into our homes. And that's a whole new thing. A lost bit. John 16, Jesus makes a promise to us. Father sent the Son sent Holy Spirit. He says, interesting, he says, another comforter. I will send you another comforter. And the Holy Spirit came and He is our comforter. And He abides in us. And He is with us. If you go and read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, you will see the Father planned it, the Son paid for it, and the Holy Spirit applied it. It's Trinity. I know you say, well, there's no Trinity in the Bible. Well, it's right here if you go and read Scriptures and understand Scripture. The Spirit, Holy Spirit knows our weaknesses. He knows when we're not cutting it. And He comes and speaks to us, encourages us. He teaches us and guides us in all truth. He works through prayer. When we don't know what to pray, He'll tell us what to pray. We just got to be listening. The Holy Spirit reveals God's purpose to us. Because He knows what we need more than what we think we know what we need. So that was just a quick download, and I just wanted to finish off that piece that we started last week. Please, this is just a direction, a focus that we understand that God has called us to at the bridge and where He's taking us. And I just want to end off by saying, when Kevin was doing the announcements this morning, maybe you didn't get that when we say we're doing this for the community, it means Trish needs your names on a sign-up list. Thank you for that. That Trish needs your names on a sign-up list. At the moment, some people have bought candy, but there's no names on the sign-up list. So please, volunteer your times. 6 o'clock or 5:30 to 8 o'clock. And help us make this thing. Build the bridge. This is bridge-building stuff. This is building the bridge to our community. This is who we are. This is what we do. This is not what the pastors do. We are part of it, of course, but we are together in this thing together. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your direction. We thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you, God, that you are awesome. We thank you, Lord God, that you have given us and reminded us of Thanksgiving Day. We thank you for the abundance of the supplies. Those early settlers came. Many gave their lives trying to find out in this new land, Lord. And God, we ask that you would bless us as we go. Thank you for this weekend. Thank you for your spirit amongst us, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that we would speak to one another in love and in firmness and in beauty and creativity. That you, your words would be on our lips, Lord. Blessed be your name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.